The Busy Persons, 5 books, 5 short shows, 5 honest ideas from a 5-book series that says, gently, you're carrying too much and it isn't your fault. This is the on-ramp. Too busy to read all 5? Start here. 5 minutes per show. 1 book, 1 idea worth your morning coffee. For the woman folding laundry at midnight and wondering if anyone notices. For the guy whose calendar is full and whose phone, somehow, is quiet. For the friend who used to bring soup and now barely makes it to the front porch. For everyone who feels, somewhere deep down, like the structure around them just slipped. Every show is checked, every claim, every story, before it ever reaches you. So pour the coffee. Here's the part that matters. Episode 1, It's Not You, Book 1 in 5 Minutes. The reason your day feels structurally impossible, and the small, ordinary thing that's been quietly missing the whole time. Here we go. Quick, honest question. When was the last time you read a whole book, not started one, finished one? For most of us, the answer is a tired little laugh. Because there's just no room. So here's the deal with this show. There are 5 books behind everything we do, and I am not going to pretend you have time for all 5. You don't. Almost nobody does. So this is the short version. 1 book an episode, the part that actually matters, in about the time it takes to fold a load of laundry. If something here grabs you, the whole story is waiting in the book whenever you want it. No rush. Now, here's the thing I want you to notice before we even start. The fact that you're too busy to read a book? That you're stretched so thin a 15-minute show feels like a stretch? That's not a side note. That feeling, too much to carry, not enough of you to go around, is exactly what Book 1 is about. So let's start there. Let me put a face on it. Picture Maria. She's 44. She's got kids who still need her for everything, and now her own parents are starting to need her too. A ride to the doctor, a bill she has to sort out, a phone call that takes an hour she doesn't have. In the middle of all of it, she's got a job. Maria is the one who holds it together, and by Wednesday she is running on fumes. But here's the part that really gets her, the part she'd never say out loud. Underneath the tired is a quiet little shame. She looks around and everybody else seems to be managing just fine. Other moms have it together. Her co-workers aren't falling apart. So she does this math at midnight, lying awake with her phone too bright in the dark. Everyone else can handle their life. So what is wrong with me? Maybe you've done that exact math. Most busy people have. So hold on to Maria, because Book 1 does one thing, and it's the kindest thing. It takes that midnight shame and shows her it was never hers to carry. Okay, here is the whole idea of Book 1, and if you only remember one thing from this show, remember this. The reason Maria is drowning is not that Maria is weak. It's that the support around her went missing and nobody told her. Let me show you what I mean. Go back a couple of generations. The work Maria is doing all by herself, the kids, the aging parents, the meals, the rides, the worry, that work didn't go away. It was always this much work. The difference is, back then it was carried by a dozen people who lived close, a grandma 3 doors down. A sister around the corner, neighbors who watched each other's kids without anybody asking. The load was the same, the number of hands was completely different. And then, slowly, quietly, over years, those hands moved away. People scattered for jobs, family spread across the map. The folks who used to share the weight just weren't close anymore. Nobody announced it. Nobody handed Maria a note that said, "Heads up! All the help that used to come standard, it's gone now. Good luck." So she's carrying a 12-person load with one set of arms and then blaming her own arms for shaking. That's the whole thing. It's not you. It's the support that quietly disappeared. Now you might be thinking, sure, but that's a mom thing, that's a Maria thing. So let me give you one more, because this is bigger than any one kind of life. Meet Devin. 31, lives alone in a city, works hard, looks completely fine on the outside. Good job, nice apartment, phone full of contacts. And Devin is lonely in a way that scares him a little. Not, no plans, Friday lonely, deeper. If something went really wrong at 2 in the morning, he got sick, he lost the job, he just fell apart. He honestly isn't sure who he'd call. He's surrounded by people, and he can't name 3 who'd actually show up. And just like Maria, he blames himself. Thinks he's bad at friendship. Thinks there's something cold or broken in him. But look at what's actually true. Devin moved 3 times in 8 years, every move for a job, every move pulling him away from anybody who was starting to become real to him. He didn't fail at making a circle of people. He kept getting pulled out of one before it could finish forming. Different life than Maria, same exact problem. The support that used to come built in just isn't there, and both of them are quietly blaming the one person who didn't cause it, themselves. Here's a small, true thing that helps this land, and I'll keep it short because you're busy and I'm not here to give you a science lecture. Researchers who study how families actually used to live, how humans raise kids for most of our history, keep finding the same thing. We were never built to do this alone. For almost all of human time, a child wasn't raised by one tired pair of hands. A child was raised by a whole bunch of people, and a grandma who lived close mattered so much that, in the old patterns, a child with a nearby grandma was simply more likely to make it. Let that sink in. The closeness wasn't a nice bonus. It was load-bearing. It was how the whole thing worked. So when Maria feels like she's failing because she can't do alone what used to take 12 people, she's not failing some normal test. She's being asked to do something humans were never designed to do solo. That's not a weakness in her. That's a setup nobody should be expected to win. The exhaustion isn't proof she's bad at her life. It's proof she's missing the very thing that was always supposed to be there. Now, I can hear the pushback, and it's a sharp one, so let's not duck it. Somebody out there is thinking, come on. This sounds like a very comfortable excuse. It's not your fault, it's the structures. Isn't that just letting people off the hook? Plenty of folks are busy and tired, and they still figure it out. Aren't you handing Maria a reason to stop trying? Good. That's a fair hit. And I want to take it seriously because the wrong version of this idea really is dangerous. Here's the difference, and it's the whole game. Telling Maria, it's not your fault, as a place to stop, so she can sigh and give up. That would be useless. But that's not what Book One does. It says it's not your fault, as a place to start. See, if the problem is that Maria is broken, then there's nothing she can do. You can't fix being a bad person by trying harder. She's already trying as hard as a human can. That's the hopeless version. But if the problem is that the support went missing, well, support can be rebuilt. A missing thing can be put back. So this isn't an excuse to quit. It's the opposite. It's the first real reason to hope because it points at something she can actually change. The skeptics write that not my faults can be a trap. We're just using it as a door. All right, let's make this stop being about Maria and Devin, because the whole thing only matters the second it's about you. So, gently, and you don't have to say anything out loud, it's just you and me here. I want you to ask yourself one quiet question. Where in your life are you the one carrying it alone? Not who's busy. Everybody's busy. I mean, where are you the one who, if you stopped, it would all just fall? The one who remembers the appointments, makes the calls, holds the worry at night, and somehow it all lands on you. Picture it for a second. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your folks getting older. Maybe it's that you, like Devin, moved for work one too many times and never quite landed among people who'd show up at 2 a.m. Now, here's the gentle part, the part I really want you to hear. Whatever you just pictured, I want you to notice you probably blamed yourself for it. That you carry it alone, and on top of carrying it, you quietly think it means something's wrong with you. Here's the truth, and you can put it down now. The fact that it's heavy doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're holding something that was always meant for more than one pair of hands. It's not you. It was never you. So here's the turn, and it's the whole reason this isn't a sad story. If the problem were you, your character, your worth, some flaw deep in you, then honestly, we'd be stuck because you can't shame your way into a better person and you're already good. But the problem isn't you. The problem is a missing support. And a support is a thing. Things can be rebuilt. You don't fix this by becoming a saint. You fix it by slowly, on purpose, putting back the very thing that quietly disappeared, a small handful of people who actually show up for each other. Not 100 friends, not a perfect, picture-ready community, a few. The few who used to live 3 doors down and now have to be chosen on purpose because nobody's handing them to you anymore. That's what the next 4 books are really about. How a regular, busy, tired person rebuilds that missing support, starting from basically nothing, a few minutes at a time. And the very first move is so small, it almost sounds like a trick. You don't build it by getting help. You build it by giving a little, on purpose, to one person, because that's the single thread the whole thing grows from. So here's your one small thing this week. Null. And it's tiny on purpose, because you're busy and big plans die in a busy week, and because the first thread really is this small. Ready? Think of one person who's as stretched as you are. Another parent running on empty. A coworker who's clearly drowning. A neighbor. A sibling. The friend who always asks how you are and never gets asked back. Just one. And this week, not someday, this week, give them one concrete hand, not advice. Not let me know if you need anything, which everybody says and nobody acts on. Something real and specific. Grab their kid from school so they get one free afternoon. Drop a dinner on their porch. Take one actual thing off their list and just do it. That's the whole assignment. And notice what I am not asking you to do. I'm not asking you to fix your whole lonely life this week. I'm not asking you to grade yourself or score how you did or prove anything to anybody. There's no test here. You're not being measured. You're just laying down one thread. One small, real give that, over time, becomes the support that holds you up, too. You give first. That's always where it starts. One person. One hand. This week. So that's book one. In about the time it took to fold the laundry, the load you're carrying alone isn't a sign you're weak. It's a sign the support around you quietly went missing. And the beautiful part, the part that changes everything, is that a missing support can be rebuilt by ordinary, busy, tired people, starting with one small give. It's not you. It was never you. And if any of that landed somewhere real, if you felt a little of that weight lift just from hearing it named, then know the whole story is in the book, sitting there patiently for the day you've got the room. No rush, no pressure. It'll wait. Next time, we take on book two, and we look straight at the doubts you're probably already feeling. The quiet, yeah, but it won't work for me. The voice that's sure your life is the exception. We're going to take that voice completely seriously. Until then, do the one thing. one person, one hand, this week, watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there. You've been with The Busy Person's Five Books, the on-ramp series for the rest of us. Next time, Book 2, The Doubts. The three little voices in your head that show up the moment you try to give. Is this just nostalgia? Will I be used? I don't have time, answered, plain and honest, in 5 minutes. If today landed, the give first thing to do is small. Tell one person what you heard. Not a pitch, not a sales push, just shh. I listened to this thing, and it sat with Mech. That's how a quiet idea finds the people it was made for. The whole story, of course, is in the book. It's right there whenever you're ready. Written and produced by GMA Daisy Inc. Watched over, as always, by Daisy.